Insights on Air by Barrels by Alex Partners.
Welcome to Insights on Air, the podcast from Barrels by Alex Partners. Today, we're diving into a topic that has haunted the automotive industry again and again. Supply chain shocks. They come without warning. They shut down lines and they never hit the same place twice. Whether it's lithium, magnets or microchips, each crisis looked different, but the pain felt the same. And here is the uncomfortable truth. None of those risks are solved. And here we go again. Rare earths and technology already reoccurred. The latest export restrictions announced by the Chinese government will become effective on November the 8th. A stark reminder that none of these risks are solved. In fact, the probability of recurrence is rising. So today we are asking the big question: how can leaders prepare for the next disruption before it hits? What to monitor, what to dual source, and where to commit long term? My guest today is Christian Grimmelt, partner at Barrels by Alex Partners. He joined Barrels in 2021 after holding senior roles in top management consultancies and in the automotive supplier industry. At Barrels, Christian focuses on operations with a strong focus on production technology and supply chain management, including the associated risks. Hi, Christian.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Christian, you've seen these disruptions unfold from the inside, from battery cell suppliers to chip fabs. Which of these three risks, raw materials, rare earths, or chips, do you think keeps executives awake most right now?
I'd say it's the combination rather than one single risk. Raw materials, including rare earth, hit cost and core architecture. Chips hit the customer promise most directly. Executives are increasingly realizing that these risks are not isolated anymore. They reinforce each other. For instance, you can design a great EV platform, but without stable lithium or NdFab supply, you're still at risk of not being able to build it. That's what keeps leaders awake, the realization that the old playbook of global sourcing doesn't hold in a world of weaponized trade and resource nationalism.
Okay, let's start with raw materials. The car of the future won't run out of fuel. It might run out of lithium, nickel, or magnesium. Why does this topic matter so much for OEMs and suppliers right now?
It matters because volatility has become structural, not cyclical. In the past, commodity swings were mainly a financial issue. You could hedge them. Now they have become more operational. When lithium prices jump sevenfold or nickel future prices spike 250% overnight, S&OP processes collapse. Test plans slip, launch windows move, and working capital balloons. So resilience is no longer about holding extra inventory. It's about having an active data-driven risk management process tied directly to production planning.
Can you give us a few examples?
Sure. Since 2021, we have seen lithium prices rise tenfold before dropping again by 70%. Nickel spikes have literally broken hedge models. And when the Ukraine war hit, palladium prices surged to record highs. Then magnesium in 2021, a real shock for Europe when Chinese energy rationing started before buffer stocks disappeared in weeks. That's when OEMs realized for certain material, there's no plan B.
And when those buffers disappear, the gaps often get filled through gray channels. What's the uncomfortable reality here?
The uncomfortable truth is that when material runs short, ethics starts bending. Russian palladium still finds its way into Western supply chains via intermediaries. Artisanal cobalt gets mixed into subsidiarily clean batches. And magnesium often moves through OPEC trading routes. That keeps plants running short-term, but creates ESG and audit exposures later. Supply security at any cost is not resilience. It's deferred risk.
So what would you do?
Start with one-page risk map. List each critical material, link it to the component it affects, and identify extraction and refining countries. Then classify the risk, sanctions, export bans, or single source dependency. That gives you a clear heat map. From there, pre-qualify alternate suppliers and agree on quality gates before the next crisis. Because once disruptions hits, you're already too late.
Let's come to rare materials. Rare earths remain the EV Achilles heel. How deep does this structural dependency really go?
Well, very deep. China doesn't just dominate mining, it controls almost the entire value chain. About 70% of mining, up to 90% of separation, and 90% of magnet production. For heavy rare earth like dysprosium and terbium, processing outside China is almost non-existent. So it's not a market, it's a monopoly with geopolitical leverage. If Beijing sneezes, global EV production catches a cold.
And 2025 really showed how fragile that system is. What exactly happened this year?
In April, China introduced export licenses for medium and heavy rare earth, especially Dy and Tb. That move froze magnet supply chains for weeks. By June, licenses resumed, but the damage was done. Inventories were gone, prices spiked, and production plans had to be reshuffled. Then in late August, a US policy move blocked a major miner's feed to China, causing a second NdPr rally within months. OEMs started rationing magnets and shifting builds. It was a wake-up call.
So economically, how fragile is this?
Extremely. Most non-Chinese projects only work with NdPr prices around $80 to $100 per kilo. When the prices fall, projects stall unless governments or OEMs provide stability. It's not about resources. We have the deposits. It's about financing and risk mitigation.
So what's Europe's realistic path out of dependency?
We're building optionality, not autonomy. Projects like Solvay, Retech, Carester, Neonava, and MagResource could together lift separation to roughly 5,000 to 6,000 tons and magnet output to around 3,000 tons by 2030. That's progress, but still less than 10% of EU demand. So the goal isn't self-sufficiency, it's resilience through diversification.
And what should leaders do now to secure that resilience?
Form assured market consortia. OEMs sign price floor offtakes with non-Chinese producers. Governments bridge the delta with contracts for difference or strategic stockpiles. It's not flashy, but it keeps critical projects bankable through price throws. In short, industry policy meets purchasing discipline.
Let's talk about 3-7 nanometer chips. On paper, 2025 looks comfortable. But you've said by 2027, the picture flips. Why?
Because the demand is outpacing capacity growth. AI and data center chips consume massive amounts of advanced node capacity, so the 3-7 nanometer chips, and fabs naturally prioritize higher margin customers. So while total global capacity grows, the slice available for automotive actually shrinks. By 2027, we expect a small but persistent deficit, and premium SDVs will feel it first. The shortage will mainly affect small advanced node chips. The larger mature chips remain available. The high-end chips are primarily used for central compute units in cars, as well as for AI and data center applications. And if the tech giants are willing to pay double or triple the price than an OEM, we see an issue here.
And that depends heavily on architecture, right?
Exactly. Mass market cars can run mature nodes, 40 to 90 nanometers, where there's still decent capacity, including some in China. but premium software-defined vehicles need 7-3 nanometer logic. That's effectively tied to TSMC and Samsung, but vulnerable to export controls and geopolitical tension around Taiwan. So while base models stay stable, high-margin vehicles risk delay.
So what can OEMs do this quarter?
Three things. First, define your minimum viable node per ECU and vehicle class. Know what's truly critical. Second, reserve capacity through long-term agreements or prepayments. And third, build a D-feature plan that allows graceful downgrades if a node becomes constrained. Optionality is everything. The companies that pre-booked waivers in 2020 kept producing cars in 2021. In addition, there are two further options to de-risk. Bundle demand from Tier 1 suppliers via OEM direct buys. Bundle demand from Tier 1 suppliers via OEM directed buys. And establish a joint sourcing board across German OEMs under the umbrella of the VDA.
If you had to describe a weekly playbook, what should leaders do to stay ahead?
Run a risk cockpit every week. Externally track licenses, approvals, port throughput, and spot versus contract spreads. Internally, monitor Tier 1 inventory coverage and order fill rates. When external risk indicators rise while internal buffers fall, you act immediately. Stretch, swap, or stockpile.
And how do companies make that a routine, not just crisis management?
By institutionalizing flexibility. Run 30, 60, 90-day drills to test response speed. Engineer for adaptability. Die thrifty magnets, magnet-free motors, note down ECU sets, and close the loop through recycling and robust quality gates for alternates. That's how resilience becomes muscle memory, not improvisation.
Christian, if you had to leave our listeners with three takeaways, what would they be?
First, the next disruption is when, not if. Second, rare earth will remain the single point of failure for EVs. Solving it will take 5 to 10 years. And third, chip capacity will tighten by 2027. Premium programs must act now. In short, visibility, optionality, and early actions. Those are the pillars of resilience.
You can download the one-page playbook and three reference charts, REE dependency, the 2025 trade timeline, and chip capacity versus demand on our website. Christian, thank you for this deep dive, and thank you all for tuning into Insights on Air.
Barrels by Alex Partners. The expertise of our top management consultants extends across the complete value chain of automobility, from long-term strategic planning to operational performance improvements. Based on our automobility thought leadership, Barrels by Alex Partners stand out with their broad experience, their profound industry knowledge, their innovative problem-solving competence, and last but not least, their entrepreneurial thinking. Thanks for listening, and until next time.